And you turn there, and I'm going to talk just for a minute. I'm going to share my heart with you. I've had a burden today. Remember the other night I asked you to pray for me. Remember that? Okay, I'm not going to ask you whether you did or you didn't. I believe that maybe some of you did pray for me. Pray that God would lead me into what I'm supposed to preach this week, what I'm supposed to preach tonight. I prayed about all day today, and I said, God, are you sure? God, are you sure? God, are you sure I'm supposed to preach this tonight? And I don't have anything else to preach tonight. This is what I have ready. This is what I worked on. And I'm going to probably say some things tonight, and I want you to listen to me now. Everybody listen. Because I'm going to be pretty serious tonight, okay? I might say some things tonight that's going to make somebody mad, angry at me. I'm one of these people that, Kenneth, I want you to be my friend. I talked, preached on friends last night. And I know all about what I preached last night because I was somebody, still am, it's still in my nature. I want everybody to like me. This is why I go around and I goof off and I cut up and I try to make people laugh, even if I make them laugh at me. I mean, that goes all the way back to childhood. I want everybody to like me. Just how I am. It's, I don't know, insecurity or whatever it is. And for a while, trying to be a pastor, a preacher, a minister, I wanted everybody in the church to like me, and I didn't want anybody mad at me. So I wouldn't say things. I wouldn't preach on certain issues. I wouldn't touch certain subjects. I didn't want to make anybody mad. Don't want to rock the boat. God dealt with me. God used some preachers in my life preaching. And I listened to them. And God used them to let me know that, Mike, there's some things you just have to say. Because nobody else is going to say it. And I'm, by my nature, I'm a little sissy. I'm a wimp. I run away from every fight my mouth got me into. Okay? And God had to tell me, Mike, grow up and face some people that aren't going to like you for what you say. And I deal with that all the time. We have a ministry right now that's reaching all across the country. It's reaching all over the world. And already this week, I have to come up and stand right here to get my phone out and I check my email. And was checking email today, and I got two hate mails today from people. Hate my guts. One guy was pretty serious about it. We've had death threats at our church. We've had a guy saying, I hope somebody comes in your church and shoots everybody down. He's actually said that on a YouTube video. And I took it seriously. My wife took it seriously. And we've kind of made preparations for that. But that's not my nature. I want you to like me. But I'm going to have to say some things. If you're right with God and your heart's prepared and you're ready. And you say, God, whatever He's going to preach, I want it. Then that's fine. But if you're not, then you're probably not going to like what I'm going to say. Now, I may preach some things tomorrow night. You may like it tonight. You may hate me tomorrow night. But I have to say some things, have to do some things. Is that okay with everybody? In fact, I want to ask you a question. How many Christians do we have in here tonight? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. You're a Christian. Okay? Wow! That looks like everybody. Now you put your hands down now. You know, probably some of you is lying through your teeth. I'm just going to be honest with you. Probably lying through your teeth. Let me tell you a story that happened. True story. You know how I know it's true? It's in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar built an image. He was real proud of it. And see that little deal where he had the dream in Daniel chapter 2 about this big tall image, and it had the head of gold and the chest of silver and legs of brass and the feet of iron. And when Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, you know, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of brass or the head of gold. Well, I'll tell you what, he just swelled all up, you know, and he built him a great big old 60 cubit tall by 6 cubits wide. He built this humongous statue and he had it prepared. And everybody on a certain day, And he made a decree. When we play the music and get all the music going, he said, everybody's going to be down here. And he said, I want everybody to bow to this image. And really what he was doing, he was wanting everybody to bow down to him. And can I tell you something? You listen to me. You listen to me real good. And if you think I'm just preaching to you kids tonight, I'm not. I'm going to preach to some adults too. Is that okay? You know what one of your problems is? You think everybody ought to bow down to you. You got a little God complex going. And you go around throwing your weight around everybody and using your mouth and whatever it is you know how to use. And you think everybody ought to bow down to you all the time. I'm telling you, some of you kids here this week are so used to getting your way that you just, I mean, it's just absolutely beyond you that you can't get your way this week. And it's just really driving you nuts. You're setting yourself up to be a little God where everybody bows down to you and does whatever you want them to do. And if they don't, then they're going to pay for it. You're going to make them pay for it somehow, some way. Some of you girls and some of you boys, you treat your parents like dirt when you don't get your way. You're setting yourself up to be a little God, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. And so Nebuchadnezzar made this decree that everybody now was going to fall down and worship this thing. Now I want you to get this image in your mind. Now here we have this big valley. And we got a million people in this valley. And probably a lot of these people had come out of Jerusalem. They were supposed to be God's people. Supposed to be God's people. They were out there in this place. And all of a sudden the music started. And guess what happened? Everybody falls down and worships this little deal. Except who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I want you to get this picture in your mind. You have a million people in this audience. And if anybody was to ask, hey, who in here worships the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They probably all threw their hands up just like you did tonight. How can you tell who really is worshiping God and who isn't? You just wait for the falling to happen. Because then it's real obvious that a lot of these people were lying through their teeth because they had fallen. And it's real easy to pick out the guys that meant what they said and they live by what they said and they're not changing their mind no matter what happens because they're the guys that are doing what? You see how simple that is? See how easy God makes things? I don't know some of you. I like everybody here, by the way. I love coming down to this camp. It just makes me happy to come down here. And I see some of you guys that I've seen a few years ago. I came down here 2 years in a row. Just had a ball down here. And I'm starting to like you people. Okay? I don't have a whole lot of fellowship up in Missouri because they're all turning liberal and they're turning away from the Bible. About the best fellowship I got in the world. I come down every year for Brother Lonnie's camp meeting, and I tell you what, I have a time. And Brother Charlie James and his wife, I just love you people to death. So I like you people. I like to keep coming down here and fellowship with everybody. And I just want to believe everybody's telling the truth when you say you're a Christian. But I got a feeling some of you are lying through your teeth. And I don't know who it is. It's not my place to tell who it is. But I can tell you that there are some principles given to us in the Scripture that helps us identify who really is and who isn't. Okay? We're going to make it real simple tonight. You got your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. Are you there? The Bible says in verse 12, let's go to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Isn't that interesting? Put on the whole armor of God so that you can do exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing in the plain of Dura when the music started. You see, they had the armor of God on them. They just believed what God said. And that gave them the ability to stand, knowing that the consequences, more than likely, was going to be that they were going to be burnt in the furnace of fire. They knew that that was probably one of the deals. But they had the armor of God on, and that helped them to stand. I want you to look at that again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Okay? Against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm going to concentrate on verse 12 tonight. But against principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Withstand. There it is again. In the evil day, having done all, to do what? There it is again. Look at verse 14. What does it say? Stand, therefore. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You turn in your Bible real fast and I'll preach fast. We've got a lot of verses to go through tonight. I like to just show you what the whole Bible says about one subject. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? Falling away. You see, the Bible drew you a picture in the book of Daniel of the falling away that's taking place right now. You see, there's a million churches in the United States of America, and there's probably 20 million people going to those churches, and they all say they're Christians. And I'm telling you, most of them are lying through their teeth. They're not born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And I'm not their judge, but I'm telling you that there's going to come a day when they're going to fall, and then you're going to know who really is the real Christian and who's not. By the way, young people, did you know that you can act like a Christian in your mom and dad's home when they go to church all the time and not be one? You can act the act and talk the talk and cut and walk the walk in front of them and make it look right. But in your private life or your life outside of their vision and outside of their hearing, you know for a fact you're lying through your teeth because you're not right with God. So there's a falling away coming. And those who are really saved are going to stand. That's just all there is to it. And those who are lying, they're going to fall. And the devil is going to do whatever it takes to get you to do what? Fall. He wants you to fall in the falling away. That's what he wants you to do. The devil is what kind of animal? What kind of animal is the devil?
Dragon.
He's a serpent. Serpents are already down low, aren't they? The only way that serpent can get on you and have dominion over you is if for you to be down low too. He can't get you while you're standing up. You've got to fall down, and then he can take dominion over you. Does that make sense to everybody? You've got to get down as low as he is. And that's exactly where some of you are headed tonight. I hate to be a doom and gloom kind of preacher. But I just know by experience of being in church for 37, 38 years that probably a lot of you kids sitting here tonight will not be in church 10 years from now if the Lord tarries is coming. You will not be there. That's just how it is. I'd like to intervene in your life tonight. I'd like to intervene in some of you adults' life. You're headed down the wrong direction. You've just decided that it's going to be your way or the highway. So anyway, the devil's going to try to get everybody to fall. How is he going to do it? Okay? Let's concentrate on something very quickly here. And I had my presentation. Everybody just think it's up on the screen. I just have to have it right here. Okay? It just worked out that way. Back in that verse where it said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I want you to look at that verse again. But against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I teach on all those things, but I'm going to teach on one in particular tonight, and that is the area of principalities. Now that's a kind of a big word, but I'm going to make it real simple. I think the Bible just is real simple if you just stop and think about it for a minute. Does anybody know what a prince is? Ladies, it's that guy you're waiting on. One day, my prince. Okay? A prince. What is a prince? Huh? He's a ruler. Not necessarily the son of a king, because the official title of some kings is prince. Jesus' title is Prince of Peace. Okay? But yet, he's King of Kings. So, principalities. Listen to this now, because we're going to start getting into some rough areas of life. Principalities deals with authority. In every place in life, there's always one person in charge. One person in charge. The military. You have corporals and sergeants and captains and lieutenants and colonels and generals. But does anybody know who is in charge of all the generals, the colonels, the captains and the lieutenants and the sergeants and the privates? Who is in charge of the whole army of the United States? Did you know it's one person? You know who it is?
God is the president.
It's the president of the United States. He is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States of America. And if the president of the United States says, we're going over here to war, that's exactly what happens. There's one man in charge. Who do you think McDonald's? We got a guy in our church that manages a McDonald's restaurant. I like him. His name's Brady. Okay? He manages a McDonald's restaurant. Okay? Did you know with that restaurant, he's not the final authority? He has people that are over him that manage, that actually own several McDonald's, but they're actually not final authority. Did you know in the McDonald's Corporation, it all boils down, guess what? There's one person that runs that show that's at the top. One person that's at the top of that. Walmart, same thing. They're called a chief executive officer. And they are the one person at the top that's in charge of everything. Now listen to me now. Okay? Listen to me. Pay attention. Pay attention. One person in charge. We're going to deal, and you may not like that, we're going to deal with areas of authority. Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's in my heart. By my nature, I am a rebellious human being. In my youth, and I grew up in church, I tried to make everybody think I was a good Christian boy. But in my youth, I had a rebellious nature. And I tell you something, you show me who was in charge, and I would probably find some subtle way of going against whoever that was as authority. I tried to find a way, including my own dad. And there's a situation that I did the day before I left for Bible college that I regret to this day that it ever happened. And I might talk about that here in a minute. So we're going to talk about principalities, all right? Let me ask you a question. In our country, the United States of America, does anybody know where the absolute final top of the everything authority is in the United States of America? Does anybody know what it is?
President.
You say the president. Yes, ma'am. The people? No? Well, yeah, he's over everything. Okay? Government, that's a big thing.
President.
Actually, the president has equal powers with the Congress, which has equal powers with the Supreme Court. It's called the checks and balances. I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But actually, the final authority of the United States of America is a piece of paper. It's called the Constitution of the United States. When the President of the United States stands in front of millions of people all over the world, puts his hand on a Bible, he swears an oath. I, so-and-so, do solemnly swear to protect and defend what? The Constitution of the United States. The final authority over this land is a piece of paper. And what's on that piece of paper is it. It's final authority. And you don't go against it. So I'm kind of heading in direction. I want you to kind of follow me here a little bit. In fact, I want to read a verse. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 13. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Romans chapter 13, the sun is going down and I got a lot of things to say. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. If you underline things in your Bible, you might want to underline this. Let's deal with civil authority. Civil authority. Who in here drives a car? You drive a car? Who in here has been pulled over? Sister Naomi, you've been pulled over. Okay? I have too. God dealt with me on that. I learned my lesson. I try to avoid it now. Well, I have a radar stick. Anyway. Okay? When you went past that cop, he turned his lights on, turned his siren on. What did you immediately do?
Stop.
Pull over.
Hey, I wasn't talking to you. Pull over. Why? He's the authority. Did you know he wears a badge? And he wears a badge, and that denotes that he has authority. His authority is actually given to him by the laws of the state of Arkansas, what's written on paper. Not only does he have paper authority, but he has the ability to back it up because he carries a weapon. And if need be, that policeman has the right to pull his sidearm out and beat down on somebody and end their life without consequences if the situation warrants it. He has that authority and he has that right. Now let me ask you a question. Was that cop a born-again, Bible-believing Christian? Have no idea. Do you think he was a better human being than you are?
No.
You think he was a better man than your husband?
No.
Amen. She loves her husband. He may not be a better... You know, he may have been sitting in that cop car sipping on a little whiskey. You know, he may have been talking to his girlfriend on the cell phone instead of his wife. Just because he's not perfect, that does not mean that he does not have authority. Are you listening to me? Some of you have chosen, whether it's with your mom and dad, or your school principal, or your school teacher, or anybody else in this world that has authority, you've decided that they can't tell you what to do because you know something that they did that was wrong. And you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Romans 13 verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. God put that cop on that road at that time to pull you over, Sister Naomi. God put him there. God put him there. That's what the Bible... Do you believe the Bible? God put him there. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever... Now you listen to this. Those of you who raise your hand, I'm a Christian. You listen to this. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. You know what the ordinance of God is? King James Bible. When you rebel against God's ordained authority over your life, you are in rebellion to the Bible. And when you are in rebellion to the Bible, you're not going to heaven. I don't care what you say. I don't care what pastor told you that. You're not going to heaven if you rebel against the Holy Bible. It's going to get rough now. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. You know what damnation is? Hell. It's hell. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Let me read some more verses to you. Don't you listen to me real close now, because we're fixing to get in some real, real troubling waters. Because I'm going to deal with areas of authority that are probably present here at this campground tonight. I've already talked about the country. That's one thing. You know Barack Obama's the President of the United States, and I don't like that man. I don't like his policies. I don't like anything about him. Did you know he's the President of the United States? And if I were to meet him face to face, I would call him Mr. President. You know why? God put him in authority. And if he wins the election again, God made him win the election again. This is what this Bible says. So I'm going to talk about... I'm going to bring it down home here. So number one, let's talk about the home. There's one authority in the United States. There's one authority over McDonald's. There's one authority in every aspect of life. And in the home, guess how many people are in charge at the home? One. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, boss your husbands around and whip him like a little puppy. Is that what the Bible says? You think I'm joking? Our churches are full of Jezebel wives running the show in their home. I told you, you're probably not going to like me after this week. Our churches are full of Jezebel wives running the show in their homes. That is not your place, ladies. And you can say, well, you don't know my husband. My husband's not a Christian. I had a lady call me and rake me over the coals one day, Brother Charlie. We were sending, her husband asked us to send DVDs to him. And he was liking them. And you know what he started doing? He started listening to them, and he figured out that all this charismatic stuff wasn't in the Bible. So he started trying to tell his wife, and she called me mad. I mean mad. And she said, I want you to quit sending those videos to my husband. He is telling me that it's not right. And I'm telling you something, that I do this and I know it's right. I know it's of God. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you. I said, but you didn't ask me to put him on the list. And I said, he's the one that asked me. And this is what I told her. I said, if he calls and asks me to take him off the list, I'll take him off the list. I said, but I don't listen to you. Well, that she didn't like that. She said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you send another one, I'm going to divorce him. I'm going to send him back to Missouri so you can deal with him. I said, ma'am, don't you dare lay your witchcraft divorce in my lap. And that's exactly what I told her. You know what the Bible says about rebellion? It says the sin of witchcraft. And ladies, you can think your husband's a dog. You can think he's a bum. You can think and you say, well, he's not this and he's not that. And I don't have to do what he says. You're wrong. And the Bible says you're wrong. You may not amen that, and you may be mad at me right now, but I don't care. I love you, and I want to tell you the truth. And if we don't get, hey, we're here. You asked me to come here to preach to these kids, and if your home's messed up, I'm wasting my time. If there's a Jezebel spirit in your home, I'm standing here wasting my time right now. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I did not write this. God wrote it. So if you're going to be mad at somebody, you don't like the electric bill, you don't take it out on the mailman. Amen? And I'm the mailman tonight. And he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You don't get, wives, you don't get to rebel against your husband and then call yourself a born-again Christian. You can't say both. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that is, as is it is fit in the Lord. There it is, it said it again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which that is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. In the home, the husband is the authority in that home. Now granted, he is to follow the Bible. But in the case that he doesn't, ladies, that does not give you the right to rebel against your husband. It does not do it. And I don't care what you come up with. This Bible is ironclad. You resist the authority of your husband in your home, and you're resisting the ordinance of God, which is the Bible. And for that, you will receive the damnation. Now I'm going to deal with you children, you young people for a minute. Roll your eyes at your mom and dad. They're paying all your bills, putting food on the table, buying you all those nice clothes, buying you all that perfume and that aftershave you guys put on, which thank God you got it on, because I've smelled you guys all day long. Glad you got it. But I want to tell you something. Your mom and dad are your authority in your home. You turn 15 years old, 16 years old, you think you're old enough to call the shots. You're not. You live in their house and they're paying the bills. You do what they tell you to do. Let me read the scriptures. Exodus 20. Send the Ten Commandments for crying out loud. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me tell you how serious God was about this. You know what he wrote in the law later on? He said if a mom and dad have a rebellious son and they can't do anything with him, they're to take that son out to the elders of the city, and the elders of the city take him outside the city and stone him till they was dead. That's how, and God says that. That's how serious he was. God hates rebellion, and he hates your rebellion. Whether you're a wife, whether you're a child, doesn't matter. He hates your rebellion. You raise your hand. I'm a Christian. I go to Sunday school. My mom and dad, my dad's a deacon in our church. Of course I'm a Christian. And you rebel against authority, you go against your mom and dad, you go to that school over there, and them teachers know exactly who you are because they see your orneriness every day. And you get mad at the teacher, and you got in trouble one day, and you run, I tell you what, I've seen it. I run a Christian school for 14 years, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Kid gets in trouble at school, they run home with some lie to make it look like the teacher hates their guts and picking on them. So you know what, mom and dad? Mommy gets on the phone. What's wrong with you? How come you don't like my son? You're in rebellion. You turn your mom and dad against a biblical authority of the local schoolhouse. The principal's got authority over you. If you walk in that door, he's got authority over you. You call yourself a Christian and act like that in school. Shame on you. You're going to burn in hell one of these days. Ephesians chapter 6. The children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. You think God's joking there? He's not kidding. Obey your parents. Hey, hon. Go in there and clean your room. We got company coming over. And you know what? You walk through that house and you decided right then you're going to torture your parents with your anger. You're going to throw such a fit and slam the door and you're going to go in there and kick stuff under your bed and halfway do what your mom... And you know good and well that's not what they want you to do. They want you to go clean your room. Take the trash out. Do the dishes. Dust around the living room a little bit. And you throw a fit over that stuff. Who do you think you are? You think you have a right for your mom and dad to feed you and clothe you and buy you expensive gifts and take you and run you everywhere on their gas? And then you treat them like a dog? Who do you think you are? And you show up at the youth meeting and at the church and call you and all you're up there singing, you're playing the guitar, all you're looking real spiritual. And everybody at the church look at you. Oh, he's such a godly little boy. And mom and dad knows who you really are. The school principal knows who you really are. You're a fake and you're a phony. And one of these days, there's going to be a falling away and it's going to be proven exactly who you are. You're going to receive damnation for it. Get tough. I told you. I burdened all day today over this message. Burdened all day over it. We're going to have to deal with some issues before we can have revival. Whether it's the children, and by the way, moms and dads, if you're guilty of being a pacifist with your children and letting them get by with everything under the sun, you're just as wrong as they are. You'll get your condemnation one of these days. You're going to pay for it. You listen to me. You cannot be a Christian parent and be a permissive parent. They don't go together. Well, Junior just sown you his little wild oats. He's going to reap the whirlwind according to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, listen to this. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say a word here in a minute that's in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what it means. It's a curse word. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. You know what chastening is? It's when your mom or your dad took a belt to your backside and they wore you out. That's chastening. My mom was not afraid to whip me. And she did it often. And if we were out somewhere and my mom said, when we get home you're getting a whipping, she never forgot about it, Brother Bill. I don't care if it was an hour later. When I walked in that door, I knew I was getting it. And I want to tell you, some of you parents, you say, I'm going to whip. You know what you do? I'm going to kill you. You liar. You are not. I'm going to rip your head off. No, you're not. You're lying to them and they know it. You establish in your home your parental authority, which is your God-given right. And if your child gets out of line and you tell that child, I'm going to whip you, then you back it up by whipping them. But here's what you do. You despise the chastening of your parents. So you know what you do? You lie through your teeth about what you did. You know, and why did you lie? Why did you lie about what you did? Why? So you wouldn't get in trouble. You lie through your teeth. Your mama said, hey, and there's something going on between you and some other boys or you and some other girls, and they don't know who did it. And your mom says, did you do that? No, mama, I didn't do that. And so you know what your mom does? She's now despising whoever else is involved in it, thinking that you're innocent. Oh, my little angel wouldn't lie to me. Can I tell you something, parents? You're not raising angels. You're raising little devils. You're raising little hellion devils that need to be trained and need to have the foolishness beat out of them. That's who you're raising. And you need to understand, hey, you know how I know all this stuff? Because I knew how to lie. And here's what you do. You despise your mom and dad. You despise their chastening. You say, well, I don't want to get away with it. And so you will lie through your teeth. And you know what? You might get away with it. But God wrote it down. And you're in danger of damnation. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's a cuss word. It's in the Bible. Do you know what it means? A bastard is an illegitimate child. A bastard is a boy or a girl whose father has disowned them and they're not going to receive the inheritance. You know what the inheritance is in God's case? It's eternal life. Eternal life is an inheritance. And if God calls you a bastard, you're not going to heaven. And you know why? You don't want to get in trouble. So you lie your way through and you con your way through your life and your mom and dad think you're innocent. And the truth of it is, you're just as deserving of hell as anybody ever was. And what you did was with your lie is that you put your punishment off on somebody else. Somebody else got in trouble over what you did. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Ephesians 2:2. Listen to this. Listen. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know who the prince of the power of the air is? It's the devil. See that word prince? He's a principality. He is trying to get you to rebel against biblical authority. That's what they're trying to do. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in guess who? The children of disobedience. I'm a Christian, Pastor Mike. You disobey your parents. The devil is your God. That's what it said. Children of disobedience. The devil is your God. You rebel against your mom and dad. Hey, your mom and dad told you not to go over to their house. So you schemed up some way where you could make it look like you were doing something else and you were over at somebody's house. You know what you're doing? You're in rebellion to their authority. You are a child of disobedience, and you are in danger of hellfire. You say, well, that's just my mom. That's not the law. Hey, God put your mom and dad in charge of you. You obey them. Well, Pastor, my mom and dad don't go to church. Can I tell you something? My dad was lost. A lost man the whole time I was growing up. And he drank beer. Here I am, Kenneth. I'm the right-wing fundamental King James Bible preacher boy is going to go to Bible college one day. Had the car packed, had it ready to go. That was a Saturday night. Was going to leave Sunday after church and head out to Moore, Oklahoma to go to the Bible college. Learn how to be a godly man of God, a preacher boy. And I ended up, before I even pulled out of the driveway that night, ended up wrecking the car in the driveway. Damaged the fender all up. My dad, he gave me that car. My dad gave me that car. He bought it for himself and gave it to me before I went to college. And I ended up mistreating it so much I tore the fender almost completely off of that car. And you know what came out of my dad that night? I mean, we had a bad night. We had a bad night, man. I'll tell you what, it was bad. You know what my dad said to me? He was holding something in against me that he let out. You know what he said? He looked right at me and he said, "You despise me because I drink beer. Because I'm the right-wing, godly, Christian preacher boy, Brother Charlie, that's going to go off to the Bible college." And you know what? He was right. I thought because my dad didn't go to church and because my dad did things that were wrong, that I didn't have to listen to him. And God called me on it before I ever stepped out of the house. I never forgot that. And my dad's gone now, and I cannot apologize for it. And I have to live with that the rest of my life. It's getting dark. Let me read this. How many of you are getting jobs? You know what a job is? Work. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. How many of you already work a job right now? Raise your hand. Is there not one person at your job that's in charge? One person. No? I don't know if I believe that. There's no company that can run on four different people trying to run it. Matthew works at he works for the guy in my church that owns a McDonald's, runs a McDonald's. There's one man in charge of that McDonald's. And if he says, "Matthew, I want you to do this," Matthew has to do it. See, you're even when you go to work and you say, "Well, my boss cusses and he drinks and he's messing with all the girls at work and I don't like him." Quit! And do without! You don't have to stay there, but if you stay there and you draw a paycheck, then you work! You do what that man or that woman tells you to do. And don't get your little Christian attitude popped up against it. "Well, there's God. Smoke all the time. I don't like him. Blah, 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 blah." And hey, I'm going to tell you something else. And you go right behind their back to the other employees? That's rebellion. You better watch that going around authority stuff. You better watch your sowing your seeds of discord. God's watching you at the workplace, and He's writing it all down. He's got your name. He knows exactly what you've been doing. Let me move on. Who's in charge of the church?
God.
There is a final authority in every house of God that there is. It's this. The Bible is, it's just like the Constitution, it's a piece of paper. But it has all the rules and laws and guidelines of what is to be done in the house of God. And I want to tell you something. You listen to me good, because I get really hot over this issue. There's music that's being played in churches that ought not be played. That's good preaching, Mike. Amen! I'll amen myself if you don't go along with it. I fought this battle. I know what I'm talking about. I was going to bring in heavy metal rock music into my church. I was going to do that. And you know what God did to me as a son? He took His rod out and He whooped the fire out of me over that. Tore my hide off. I was rebellious against God and He dealt with me. And I was the pastor of Bethel Church. And I want to tell you something. Now, you listen to me real good. Because I'm dealing with realms of authority. And I want to tell you, the Bible is final authority in a church. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. God ordains one human being in a church to be the authority over that church. It is not the deacon board. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's not the song leader. It's not the wife of the deacons. It's not the wife of the song leader. It's not the child of the song leader. It's not anybody else. God puts a man in a man.
I don't like that.
Go home. God put a man in charge of the house of God. It's an abomination for a woman to stand behind the pulpit in the house of God. God said, sit down and keep your mouth shut. You don't like that. That's what God says. I don't go. Joyce Myers lives 20 miles from me in St. County and me. And I fight her tooth and nail. I'll fight her until she has me killed. She's got the money and the power to do it. She is an abomination before Almighty God. She used to be in witchcraft, still is. She's teaching witchcraft right now, and she's teaching rebellion against women to women. She's telling women all over the world, you don't have to do what your husband tells you to do. You don't have to let him control you. She's a witch, and she's birthing witches all over the world. Get pretty serious about it. I've been a pastor, and I've been a church member. And I've been on both sides of the issue, and I can tell you, God ordains one person to be in charge. I want you to listen to this. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Did you know churches do not vote in a pastor, even if they have a vote? You know who puts pastors in over churches? The Holy Ghost does. I don't care if you had a vote or not. Well, we're going to have us a meeting on our preacher. We're going to have to vote him out. That's not your call. You say, well, that's how we do it. Oh, well, the Bible says the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Can I say that again? Obey them that have the rule over you. And if you're in a church situation and you don't like what's going on, and you're praying and it'll change and it's not, did you know that you have a right to leave that church and go find another, put yourself under some other pastor's authority? Did you know you have a right to do that? You have a right to do that. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't do that. I know not every pastor can pastor everybody that walks through the doors. I know it's not possible. I cannot. I've tried it. I am a people pleaser, and I can't please everybody that walks in and out of our church. And people, they come in, well, he's not for us, and they move on. That's fine with me. But you know what I've had them do to me? I've had them write letters behind my back, make phone calls behind my back, talk to other church members behind my back. And see, if it's not right for him to work his job and go around to the other employees and say, that boss is a jerk, I don't like him, I don't think we have to, he's not here, let's not do it. If it's not right for him to do that, it's not right for you to do it either. How would you feel, moms, if you told your children, no! And then they went running to dad, daddy. Well, I know mom said no, but let's do this. Let's go. Let's just don't worry about what mom said. Let's go ahead and do this anyway. How would that make you feel? It's rebellion. It's what it is. And we wonder. You listen to me. We wonder why our children, who are raised in our churches, when they get of age, they walk out and they never come back. We wonder why. It's because respect for authority was never taught them. I know guys that are policemen. You know what they tell me all the time? We catch their kids. We catch kids redheaded. Take them home. Take them mom and dad. Mom and dad say, my son wouldn't do nothing like that. My little girl wouldn't do nothing like that. You know whose word they take? They take their daughter's or their son's word over the policeman. That's rebellion. It's the same thing. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Caleb, come here. Where are you? Where's Caleb? Poor kid. Come here, young man. Come here. Don't. Just leave him alone. Come here. Come here. You. Come here. Right here. You. Come here. Come here. How old are you?
Seven.
7 years old. You'll do. Okay? Let's pretend, what's your name?
Jesse.
Let's pretend Jesse's my son. Okay? Look at me and look at him. Who do you think has hurt who first? Okay? If he was my son, and somebody was coming after him, you know what I would do? You can't touch him. You want him? You have to go through me first. Amen, moms and dads?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Should I do that? Okay. He grows up, gets cocky, decides he's going to leave home, and he leaves home. Thank you. You can sit down. Did you know that he's not under my authority anymore? Therefore, he is not under my protection. How many of you know this is right?
Yes.
And I want to tell you something. Whether it's you're the child at home, or the wife at home, or the church member in the church, that bishop, that pastor, has a responsibility to watch for your souls, and he has a responsibility to watch over that church. And can I say something to you? That pastor is not right in everything that he does. And I will be the first to admit that I have done wrong things since I've been a pastor. Wrong things. That does not give anybody the right to go around my authority in my church. And I'm not a dictator. I'm far from it. That does not give anybody the right. Now, whether you amen me or not, whether you like this or not, or whether you agree with me or not, I'm just quoting Scripture to you. That's what I'm doing. I'm quoting Scripture. I'm going to tell you a little story. In fact, I was going to have you turn your Bibles there, but we don't have time. And it's too dark. You wouldn't be able to read it anyway. Let me find out where I was going. Numbers chapter 12. You can write this down. If you can see it, you can go home and read it. You go in your cabin tonight. Maybe cabin sponsors. Maybe this would be something good to go over tonight in your cabin. Let me show you how God deals with this thing. Okay? And then I'm going to close. Moses was the one man in charge of probably 1.5 million Israelites in the wilderness. There was one man in charge. Hey, listen, I'm not done yet. There was one man in charge, and it was Moses. His own brother and sister came to him, and the Bible indicates in Numbers 12 that it was probably more his sister Miriam than it was Aaron. Because Miriam ended up getting the judgment over it. They came to him, and they said, Moses, who do you think you are? Who put you in charge? Have you ever said that? Who put you in charge? Well, I'll tell you, if you're the husband, God did. Amen? And if you're the parents over children, God did. And if you're the school teacher in a classroom, God did. If you're the principal, God did. And if you're the police officer, God did. And if you're the mayor, God did. If you're the president, God put you in charge. And if you're the pastor, God put you in charge. And they went to Moses. Who put you in charge? Mary, I can just see Mary. What makes you think you get to do everything? You call all the shots. I can just see her. Because I've seen her before. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in the world. And Moses, not even Moses. Now you listen, those of you who are in charge, I'm going to preach to you just for a second. Being in authority does not make you Mr. Big Shot. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Who said servant? It makes you a servant. But somebody has to be in charge, and it's one man. That's why I never vote for a woman to be president. Never. But anyway, Moses, you know what he did? He stepped back, and God immediately got in on the scene. And God said, watch this now. God said, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, come to the tabernacle. So they started walking. And I can just see Miriam right now going. You know what Miriam's problem was? She was Moses' big sister. I had a big sister. I hated her guts growing up. I love her now. But she used to wail on me. My mom would do this. She'd put me and my sister out in the backyard and say, go at it. And I turned 11 years old, Kenneth, and boy, I thought I had her. Man, I've got some muscles now. I'm growing some hair on my arms. You better watch out, sister. And I'd go after her and she'd wham! And knock me down. I'd go, ah! Miriam was Moses' big sister. She's the one that put him in the water and saved his life. And that's in the back of her mind. And she thinks that she's going to be Mrs. Big Shot now and call the shots. Who do you think you are, Moses? And they're all walking to the tabernacle. You know what God said? God said, if I have a prophet, that I raise up a prophet. God said, I will speak to him in dreams and visions. But Moses is so much my guy, I will talk to him face to face. He will see me with his own eyes. Moses is in charge. You know what God did to Miriam? He was going to kill her. Instead, he struck her with leprosy. And she had to go outside of the camp of the Israelites for 7 days by herself. As a shame and an embarrassment. Everybody knew now what she had done and what spirit was in her. And they put her out in front of everybody in shame and embarrassment for 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, they let her come back in camp. And I guarantee you, she was a different person. And yet, you know why God did that? Because of His mercy. He didn't kill her dead like He wanted to. He did it because of His mercy. And I'm going to say to you young people, you listen to me. God has long suffered. He has been patient with you while you rolled your eyes and cursed under your breath at your own parents. You just wait. Your day is coming. And you just better hope that God deals with you as a son. Because if He doesn't deal with you as a son, you're going to hell. And wives, the same thing. God is as serious about this as anything. Wives do not have a right to rebel against their husbands. You're not in charge like you think you are. And it's not right. And if you're blessed and God loves you, He will chasten you and He will have mercy on you. But you know what He'll do? He'll humble you. You know how God humbled me? He humiliated me. That's how He humbled me. He humiliated me. Made me embarrassed and ashamed of who I was. That's how God brought me down. And if God loves you, ladies, He'll do that to you. And then to all of you, and I want to say this to you pastors, you start getting cocky, hey, your church won't have to have a meeting on you. God will take care of you. Can I tell you something, church members? God knows more about your pastor than you do. He knows every wrong that he's ever done. And if God's going to be in charge of your church, you let God take care of your pastor. If he's in the wrong, you let God have him. I guarantee you God will hurt him bad. How many of you believe what I'm saying? You say amen. It is not your place to go around behind your pastor's back. It is not your place to go around behind your mom and dad's back. It is not your place to go around behind your employer's back. It is not your place. And if God is going to treat you like a son, like a child of His, He will embarrass you. And He will humble you by humiliating you. And He will do that so that His mercy can be enacted and He can forgive you and bring you back. But if you're not one of His, you're in danger of damnation. Now if I were you, I wouldn't ask yourself, why is He preaching this tonight? I'm preaching it because God told me to preach it. And if I were you, I would listen to the Bible tonight before you make a mess of your life and everybody else's around you. What I'm going to do, we can't play the music. I'm going to do what I did last night. I'm not going to stand here and beg you to come to the altar, so I guess I preached a good message tonight. What I'm going to say to you is, tonight I want you to bow your head just for a minute.